There you go. So, based on this, I'm guessing you're thinking you've got 45 minutes of me talking about this church out here that we're going to build. And a little bit of that, that's for sure. That's important. But it's more than that. I've got some scriptures here that we want to start off with. First Chronicles 28:8. You got that up there? So now, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek after all the commandments of the Lord your God. Excuse me. In order that you may possess the good land and bequeath it to your sons and daughters after you forever. And Isaiah 54:2. I love this one. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. I don't know what that means to you guys, but it's a challenge. And I got this. I think you're probably thinking that in the next 45 minutes we're going to be talking about this building out here, and we could. And that's important. Part of it is what God is doing in you. He's challenging us about our tent pegs and strengthening the things that are in us. And I think I'm just thinking now that I should have put this in my little sermon here, that God is going to bring some interesting people when we get that building out there. Some are going to need a lot of help. Some are going to be part of the church and fill right in, fill all the gaps. Are we ready for that? That's a challenge. Are we ready for that? If God's going to bring people, He's going to build this church out there, are we ready for that? I'm just thinking, you know, there are some of us that are going to go, oh, you know, who's that guy to come in here and take over my job? You know? God's bringing some people. They're on their way. And thank you, Lord. So, my question to you is there something the Lord wants to build in you? Are there areas of ministry that He would like to strengthen in your cord, strengthen cords in you? Are there some weak points in your life that need to be strengthened? I truly believe as individuals, He's going to challenge each and every one of us to, like this sermon says, observe and seek after all the commandments of the Lord in order that you may possess the good land. And that next part, and bequeath, pass it on to your sons and daughters after you. Some of us may not even be here when this thing gets up and rolling. But what are we doing today to get ready for that? Years ago, I was listening to a pastor talk about the banquet table. And as usual, no offense, but sometimes I space out and start thinking about other things when the pastor's talking. And he's talking about this banquet table. And I just had a picture of a banquet table. Here's a banquet. What do you think of? There's the whole thing there. There's meats and vegetables and fruit and salads and everything all the way through there. And at the other end is the pies, the cakes, the ice cream. Oh, yeah, the pecan pie. Everything's down there. So in my little picture that this pastor is talking, I saw people at one end of the table getting the fruits and vegetables and the meat and potatoes and the solid food, I guess. There's a bunch of people down at the other end. pies, cakes, pudding, pecan pie, all the stuff. And as the Lord developed this thing, he said, that's the way some people look at my word. The word comes to them, and they're just grabbing this thing, chewing on it, getting nourishment from it. And they can go out and use it. They're strong. They're not susceptible to what the enemy is doing. Down at the other end of the table, here's some of us eating another slice of chocolate pie. And it's pretty good. And we get on these sugar highs and we feel like we're going to take on the world. But about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we're needing a nap. And we're getting fat. And the Lord was challenging me some years ago. He said, what end of the table are you on, Bob? Are you at that fun end down there? Are you getting, you know, in my opinion, we get really good sermons, really good messages here. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, we got good Bible studies. What are we doing with that? Are we just putting on a little weight with all of this, or are we using it? Are we doing something with the word that we get? We get good teaching here. We should be able to take it from Sunday morning or wherever it is and chew on it and get nourishment from it and go use it. Be part of the kingdom out there. The challenge is, this morning, is what end of the table are you at? Yeah. Some of us like being down the chocolate pie a lot. We can, and I'm not trying to be hard on you, but some of us come to church and we just kind of sit back and eat chocolate pie the whole time. Just, oh, Lord, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. I can't wait till next Sunday to get more chocolate pie. Or are we at the other end of the table going, this is good stuff. I think I can make it to Wednesday now because I've got something I can chew on, I can live on. And I'm learning from. And I'm becoming a stronger. That's probably a big point. Becoming a stronger Christian because of it. We talked a little bit in the men's group about our responsibilities as men and as people. What are we doing with that? You know, what are we doing as light in this dark world? I used to take the guys at the mission in the Life Change program. We go into a little room like one of these where there were no windows or anything. And I put a blanket or a towel under the door there so no light would come in. And we're all lined up around the edge. There's about 20 guys in there. We're all lined up around the edges. And you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I said, this is the world, you guys. This is how dark it is out there, spiritually. And then I'd light a match. And you could see everybody's faces. You'd kind of see clearly in there. And I said, this is what happens when you walk into the world as a Christian. The Lord is in you. Right? I am the light of the world. And now the Lord is in you, and you are a light in the world. Are we? Wherever we go, we should be a light. We should have an effect. And I'm not saying it's always a good effect. Said there spiritually, there's times where you walk into a situation and they don't like you. They don't even know why. Because you brought light into their little world. And we were talking about in that room, we said, you know, we can now see everybody's face. You're either happy, sad, mad, whatever you're doing, but we can see it. Not everybody wants other people to see that. They'd rather just hide in the dark and be who they are. But here comes Steve. He walks into that situation and there's light. And somebody's got to make a choice. Do I want to be seen? Do I want to change my life? Or do I want to stay in the darkness? This is the challenge from back here. Are we going to allow the Lord to stretch us? Are we going to allow the Lord to move us in a direction that may not feel too comfortable right now? But He's got great things. I started thinking about this one with the banquet table, and back then, when I had that little picture, the Lord said, "Who are you? Where are you in this little picture? What end of the table are you at?" And I realized that where we were at the time with this particular pastor, I was at the chocolate pie end. I couldn't wait to get back to church. We were there every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, whenever the doors were open, we were there. Just gaining weight. Eating the chocolate pie. And God said, what are you going to do with all this? What are you going to do with the stuff that I'm teaching you, the truth out of my word? What are you going to do with that? Just hold it? Keep it under a bushel? Hide it? Or are you going to put it on a lampstand so everybody can see it? He's challenging me that. And I'm dragging my feet, and that older guy, he's probably 50 at the time. I got saved when I was 27 or something. And this guy, he says, "Hey, I understand you play music. Play the guitar." And I said, "Yeah." And I'd written some personal songs and whatnot. And he said, "I need you to come down to the county jail with me and play some songs for these guys, and then I'll preach." And I'm thinking, that ain't happening. I'm not going down there. I had been in there before several times on the other side, and I did not want to go back. It's just the new one. I've been in that one too. They could give me a key. I couldn't get out of there. It's complicated. I know guys have gotten out of there, but I didn't want to go. But I did go. And I went down there, and like I said, the Lord had given me some kind of personal songs and some other songs I thought these guys would like. And back in that day, they had actually let you in the cell block with a guitar. They won't let you do that anymore because of the guitar strings. They'd kill you with them. Back then they did. And we went in there, we played some music, and then this guy preached. And then I started talking, sharing a little bit about me and stuff that I had been hearing from the pastor for the last 3 years. And all of a sudden it was coming out, and all of a sudden I felt good, like I'm doing something here. And these guys are listening. Somebody was listening to me about my life. I was sharing my life and how the Lord had changed it. And these guys are listening. I'm leaving there going, wow, this is a whole different deal than just eating chocolate pie every Sunday. Now I'm sharing what I heard. And I could go into a lot of different stories over the many years that I was down there, miraculous things. Guys are getting saved. Guys are getting healed. And stuff that was kind of out of my little world. Guys are getting healed by just sitting there. I didn't do anything. I didn't touch them. I didn't lay hands on them. I didn't pray for them. They got healed right in front of us. And the guy over here is saying, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" You know, what they used to do is we go down cell block, and the turnkey would say, "Anybody want to get out and listen to these guys talk about Jesus?" Well, none of them wanted to do that, but they wanted to get out. And, you know, yeah, we'll go down there. So they take us down into a little room. It's about 8 by 8, no windows. bare bulb, no seat, no chairs or nothing. It just made it difficult. And a phone, and you left the phone off the hook so that if they were killing you, they could hear you. And we'd go in there, and they'd lock the door. So we're in there with my guitar and this other guy, and we'd start talking, and Jesus shows up. I mean, we're not praying, we're not doing nothing, we're just talking. And the Lord shows up. This guy over here is sitting on the floor, and he's looking at his hands, and he's going, I don't know what you guys are up to, but something's happening here. I'm looking at his hands, and his fingernails were pink. They looked like baby hands. He had yellow jaundice. He had jaundice. And God healed him right there. We're not talking about healing anything. God just shows up and heals this guy. He says, I don't know what you guys are up to, but something's happening. Guy over here who's got emphysema, he's breathing really deep. He said, I don't know what you guys are up to. And a lot of profanity. You know, they're not gee. They're doing, he says, I don't know what you guys are up to, but I can breathe. He says, I've had emphysema for 15 years and I can breathe. And we're just sitting there. You know, we're not orchestrating this whole deal. We're not doing anything. We just showed up. We just said, hey, I'll go down there. I'll see what happens. And all of a sudden the Lord goes, okay, I can use these two guys. And the stories go on. It's pretty amazing. From there, I got the picture, the unction, that there's more to life than just eating chocolate pie. There's something to this thing. Some miracle that happens that the God of the universe comes down and picks you to work through. What? Isn't me, old little Bob? He's going to use me to do, just show up. Next thing that happened is, and this gets into a little bit of a testimony, for sure, but I raised my hand. I said, pick me. And my wife did the same thing. She was having a Bible study, and a friend of hers said, hey, we're starting this street ministry thing where we're feeding the homeless, and you want to come bring your Bible study down there. That was an event. A bunch of ladies went into the homeless camp where they were eating it, and very eye-opening. But my wife got touched too. She's probably eating chocolate pie with me. And she goes down there to the street ministry. There are about 30 people. It's in Eugene. About 30 people that they were serving, and Janice got the unction, the feeling that she needs to be part of this thing. Well, shortly thereafter, that the people that started it retired or did something else, and Janice and I took it over. Took it over when there was 30 people there, 30, 40, something like this, and it was in a basement of a church. 7 foot ceiling, so I'm like hunkered down. It's awful. And this, the 30 people, after we took it over, grew to maybe over 100, maybe 150 people in a room about this big. All homeless people, got all their problems. They bring in, we're looking for a different place to be. We gotta have some room. We found a different place. We moved into it. It was another church. We were looking in the building. It looked like it was empty. And it turns out there was a church in there, but this big foyer, it was as big as this, was empty. There was nothing in there. We thought the building was empty, and we'd rent it or something. And the pastor came, and he's looking through the window at us looking in, and he says, what do you want? And I told him what we were up to. And he said, well, you're welcome here. you bring your street ministry here. Well, he had no idea what he was talking about. He didn't like it after a while. But by the time we moved in there and got that thing up and running, we had 250 people show up, and we had 500 people at least show up for Christmas. If you're familiar with Eugene, it's down by the Jefferson Street overpass, Skinner's Butte, that hood down there, and it was central. People are walking to eat. You know, they got to walk to eat. And there we were. We were right there, and it got busy. Controlled chaos. Back then, there was... we were learning how to do this. There's a lot of fights. There's a lot of different things going on. We had to learn how to deal with that clientele. And I'm not telling you this to tell you what our story was, but I'm telling you God's going to bring different people here. They may be homeless. They may have a drug problem. They may be mental. Whatever it is, they may just be everyday people. We're going to get a different clientele, just like us. We're all that way, this body of Christ. Are we going to be ready for that? Well, we learned a lot during those years. I made a note here that we lived out, I think it's John 6, 1 through 5, 15, the feeding of the multitude. We would have enough food for X amount of people, and I would go out, and Janice and the gals and those people were over there, I'll explain all that in a minute. They're over there getting ready to serve and preparing the food, and I'm looking down outside, and there's a line that goes around the block. And Mr. Positive says, we don't have enough food. That's what I'm thinking. We don't have enough food. And you don't want to say that to somebody that's starving or hungry. But every time, every single time, there was enough food there. There's actually usually enough food for us to have a little chocolate pie when there was some dessert left. So we ate too. Here's an example of what we went through. The day before we fed, we would go out to any of the different facilities around that we could get food from. Some gave, some didn't. Food for Lane County was awesome. They'd always give us, that's a big organization. No matter what you think of Eugene and all that stuff, Food for Lane County is doing a job out there. Have you ever seen it? It's a huge facility, and they got lots of food out there. We could go out and get what we wanted generally. And then we had some other places that we could go around and get pastries and whatnot. So we'd do that the day before. Then come Friday, if that was the day that we were going to feed, the prep people would be there probably about 11 o'clock and start doing all that, getting everything ready, getting the salads and the sandwiches and we did everything. We didn't have a kitchen. It was all mobile. Everything that we had was over there stored behind in a room, and we roll it all out. And what are those warmer things that, what are they? I don't know what they're called. Well, they're just warmers. Something. We had about 10 of those things, and that's what we cooked the food in. So we bring them all out, like I guess we have here sometimes. And they cook the food, usually soups and sandwiches, and we do all that. Get that ready. And then we would, outside, and I'll get back to where I'm going with this. Outside, people would start gathering. We opened at 6, but they would be there at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. because it came from somebody, some place, and that's when they got there. So now they're there, they're outside, and we started putting coffee and cookies out there. So we started that whole thing there, and then in the summer we had one of our helpers would go out there and have a little Bible study outside with them. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's a different world, the homeless world. They don't trust anybody, and rightly so. They've been spit on and stomped on, and you know they participated in that. But it's a different world, and they don't trust you. So to have one of our folks, you know, all zipped up and looking nice, to go out there and have a Bible study with them was a big deal. That started the whole thing. They started trusting us. Opened up the chapel. There was a chapel in there. So every about a half hour before we opened, we'd have chapel. Anybody that wanted to come in, we'd have chapel, and I'd do this and sing some songs and things like that. In the meantime, the food is being prepared. Everything had to be set up. All the tables, all the chairs, everything. It was all mobile. We had to set the whole thing up, and we do that for 2 hours. After the doors open, 6. We would be done by 8, Lord willing. And then we start the whole reverse thing back around doing this. I'm telling you this because when you raise your hand, wherever my title is, you build it, you open the doors, they will come. Can you imagine 500 people in this area? Probably about this size for Christmas, and 3/4 of them, maybe 7/8, are homeless, and we're passing out Christmas gifts to them. Our Christmas was crazy exciting and fun. Everybody that came in the door got a brand new coat or brand new boots or brand new sleeping bag, or because of the donations we got from the city, we'd get all these things. If you ever want to have a good conversation, go into a department store at Christmas time with a bunch of money in your pocket and come up to the counter with 500 coats. Somebody's going to ask you what you're up to, and then you get to tell them, and then they wind up giving you $20. Or another coat, or some more boots. I mean, is this awesome? And then we bring them all back, and we had a birthday cake for Christ. We light it on fire with candles, and we bring it in, and we sing "Happy Birthday to Jesus." With one person had this thing on a stick with a platform and the cake on top of that, and walking through everybody. Singing, it had to be there. You see 500 people singing "Happy Birthday to Jesus," and most of them don't know who Jesus is. And they're singing "Happy Birthday to Jesus" and looking at each other as, "Is this okay to sing?" Pretty awesome. So, when we first got started at this thing, I think I've got Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. You have that yet? This is our command. This is what the Lord gave us when we first started. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then Your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be in your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from the midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall shine, shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You should be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you, you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. What a promise. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And that was the name of our ministry, it was Streets Ministry. This was a promise, and there's a lot of ifs in there. If you do this, then I will do that. If you do this, my challenge to you today is, are you going to raise your hand? He's going, I'll do this if you raise your hand. Get away from the dessert end of the table. Start applying what you've heard and you've learned and you know in your heart. Start doing these things. Whatever it is. I mean, there's probably a book that tells you all the different benefits and wonderful things Christians can do. And there's a lot. We just happen to pick one thing. And that was our promise, our command to do is feed the homeless. We got a lot of, I don't know, who was I talking to just earlier? When you burn, I think. When you raise your hand, all of a sudden the naysayers come in. It'll never work. We planted ourselves right downtown Eugene. And look at Eugene. Their mantra is, oh, we're going to help the poor in the city and feed them and everything. Not in my backyard. We don't want you here. We were down by REI. You know where that is? Down there? Here's REI. They come over and say, hey, these people they're like on the sidewalk. Yeah? Well, they're in the way and people can't get from the parking lot to our place and it's disruptive. And they leave trash around. Well, they did leave trash around. So that was part of our deal. Is we had two guys that went out and picked up the trash in a three-block area. There's no trash in that area. Nobody to complain about that. But you raise your hand and somebody's going to say, hey, that'll never work. Who do you think you are, Bob? Who do you think you are that you're going to, on a certain night, there's going to be 200 or 300 people in here and you're going to serve them all and make them feel comfortable? And that was the gist of the whole thing, is bring people in a safe place. That was their safe place for 2 hours. The rest of the time, they're back-to-back sleeping. You get that? When they sleep in the bush, they're sleeping back-to-back because somebody's coming at them. Every year, about a little over 200 people, homeless people, would die in Eugene. Never hear about it because it's not important. They'd die and they'd drown in the river, they'd overdose, or they'd get stabbed. We had guys get stabbed just... Nobody hears about it. We used to go to a church over there, ring a bell for it. We had a big circle and we have a prayer thing for them and we ring a bell for every name. And it just, guys, it went on forever. And those are just the people we knew. And so the public is saying, you know, you're doing this thing down there in that neighborhood, and you know they're getting the traffic, and even the EMTs, if you spill blood, sorry, but if you spill blood on the pavement in some of those places, you don't just hose it off. You got to get a whole hazmat crew in there to do this thing. And that was every night. So here's I told the fire department, you got to just park across the street. Because it's going to happen. And then we got people complaining about it. But we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. When the other one big complaint is, you're just enabling these people. Well, yeah, I suppose. But there's one person there that wants to get off the street, wants to change his life. And we had all kinds of people throughout that helped us during those times that would roam through the crowd asking for prayer requests. It was awesome. I can't even tell you how awesome it was. Very tiring. We'd be get done and we'd be exhausted. So, were we done? was that the end of Bob and Janice when we got tired of doing the street ministry? No, remember, we raised our hand. Said, pick me, Lord. So the next thing, we closed that down. We just got tired, and here's a sad fact, and it still bothers me that to this day, that ministry was up and running. We had a full kitchen. It was mobile, but full kitchen and money in the bank. Sent out notices to every church in Eugene. Say, hey, we're retiring. Does anybody want to take this over? You know how many responses we got? That's a zero. Every single church, maybe that little flyer went in the round can, I don't know. But we sent them out to every single church in Eugene and said, hey, this thing's up and running. It's a going concern. 500 people are on, and we've got donors that pay for all this. All you got to do is take it over. Just show up. And we're waiting for the phone call. Not one. We did that for probably about 3 months, waiting for somebody to call. Nobody. So we shut the doors. Now, you have to be an idiot in Eugene to starve because everybody's feeding. There's a place to eat. So we felt bad losing touch with people because we were in touch with them. I just got a phone call right when you were talking. I just got a phone call from one of the guys. He was on the street and he got saved and he's doing better. He just called me this morning. He's alive. Yeah. So we shut it down, but we had some money in the bank. What are we going to do with that? Remember, we raised our hand. God calls you, he's going to provide, right? We had some money in the bank. What do we do, Lord? Well, we had this crazy idea to get a food cart. And we'll put some people to work that are transitioning out of jail. Great idea. So we bought a big food cart thing. I did all the work in it. We got it all painted and got it up to code and all that. And I think Justin found a bus that had been gutted, and it was the same color as the food cart. So we moved it onto the place where we were going to feed or open it. Parked it right there, and we put carpet in there and chairs and tables, and that's where people ate. They got their food, and they went right in there, and it was a going concern, and we put people transitioning out of prison to work, men and women. That was an experience. We raised our hand, pick me, Lord, we'll do it. And we did that for a while. Pretty soon we decided to move on from that, and now and we still got some money in the bank because we sold that thing. And Janice comes up with this idea. We'll call the ministry Smiles. And we'll anyone, the homeless folks that we know, need false teeth, their teeth fixed, we'll provide for that. So we talked to a bunch of dentists in town and got them on board. It's, you guys, it is absolutely endless. If you raise your hand and you start participating in God's kingdom, it is, it's just endless out there what you can do. Some of you are, you know, you're already doing things, and that's great. I'm not really getting on that, but you don't want to be at that end of the table where there's all chocolate pie all the time. It's time to get on, do something, and that's old people. You know, I'm thinking. There was a time in there when I thought, you know, I'm too old for this. And Janice thought she was too old for it. It's a lot of work. But God will use you. God will do something. We retired from that. Janice went on to, the Lord told her to really just keep on with your Bible study. She's been doing that with these gals for 10 years. And focus on your family. You, little R&R there for her. That's good. Told me, and in fact, I got a call, and the guy that was running the mission, the director there, was retiring, Ernie Unger. He called me and wanted me to be the CEO of the thing, of the Eugene mission. That's way out of my pay grade. I knew it. I just couldn't do that. That needs somebody that's smart to do that. But I did say there's something on my mind that I would approach you about, and that's long-term recovery for people. We need a long-term recovery program in Eugene. Like a year, maybe a year and a half. And I introduced that to them and some other things. I became a certified in drug and alcohol and all that stuff, and presented that to them, and we started the Life Change program at the mission. It's still going. And that's how the Lord kept feeding me back into the system. About the time I'm heading for the chocolate pie, He's going, I got you down this other end of the table because I still can use you. So back at the mission, I'm doing that. And that was every day, all day long. I'd talk about 24/7 craziness because there's 500 people there. It's different at the mission now. But we took those about 20, 25 guys, got them into a program. There's a whole process to get them in there. They're drug and alcohol free and UAs and all that stuff. And we ran them through a program for a year. And at the end of the year, there were jobs for them. We had those lined up. So they graduated. They still lived on premises in dorms and whatnot, but they got a job. And they could do that for as long as they wanted, really. And that guy that just called me, that's crazy. He's still doing it. He's up in Portland now, doing some stuff. That God is not going to let you go when you raise your hand and say, "Okay, I think I'm ready for something. I don't know what it is. Maybe, you know, how about me?" When He picked me, and when I raised my hand, He says, "I don't know what you're going to do with me, but I guess I'm ready." Well, I'm going to send you down to the jail. Our kids. People used to ask our kids where your dad was on Sunday, and they said, "Well, he's in jail." Which, years before that, it could have been true. But God will use you to do these things. And the challenge this morning is are you going to raise your hand? Are you going to do it? We get great teaching. We get great stuff. We get meat and potatoes. Or if you're a vegetarian, you get potatoes and broccoli. Broccoli's good. Asparagus. It's stuff that gives you strength. We get it out all the time. What are we going to do with it? I'd challenge you. Not my sermon, not my thing today, maybe, but when pastors speak, when you leave the building, you sit in your car and go, "Now, what did he say? What is it that I could apply to my life today that I can use? Or is it just, gee, I'm kind of hungry for something else. I need more pie. Challenge yourself and raise your hand and say, Lord, pick me. Because I believe that building's going to happen out there. And people are on their way. How are we going to present ourselves to them? Are we just going to say, hey, we're going to put Barco loungers in the service over there. You can just sit back and relax, and we'll feed you. Or are you going to say, hey, we got some ministries going here. We got this, this, and this going there. Where's the little gal that's doing the clothing? That's a ministry. She's just starting. You do it, and they will come. For sure. You don't have any idea where this is going to go, but it could go. And it may branch off and doing other things because you raised your hand. And God going, oh, there's one. I can use her. I'm going to use her. Raise your hand. Say, okay, Lord, pick me. I think I'm ready. Amen? I think that's the end of my deal here. So, you're up.
You're standing up, you just will.
It's exactly, and I said, Lord, what are you going to do with this thing? Well, this is what Friday night at 9 p.m. the Lord told me to write this down. Hip-hop, playing the game of scotch, hopscotch. You would think that I am playing games with you, but I am not. My church seems to be thinking I'm playing games with them. Get serious, for I am holy, holy, holy. My church needs to know that I need a church that is well without a spot or wrinkle. The blood of my Son Jesus has made you a people without sin. But I want you to know I want you to know to be more intimate with me. I'm going to and will draw you to me. But you must be willing to draw close to me too. Some of you think the rapture of the church is the answer to all your world's problems. Yea, that will happen in due time, but not now. I have yet a mission for you to do. Many souls need to be saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you are the people that I need to use to do that through. Many of you are looking to escape the world, but I say unto you that I need you to help me in the world in order that before the rapture will happen. I will then, you need to be soul winners. Your mission is not to escape this world yet. I need you to bring it out. I need you to bring out the point of my Holy Spirit and all people first. For I'm going to use you in my plan to do so. Awake, get ready for a great outpouring. Worldwide, it's going to happen. There's going to be a coming, and now is a great gathering of souls that will call on my name. I will receive the glory for it, but I will use you to be ready to receive my will for your life. The coming move of God will be so great that you will hardly be able to take it all in. The Scripture says, I has not seen, neither has entered in the heart of man what I have prepared for them that love me and serve me. Get on your knees. Shout, pray, and praise me if you want to please me. Become a man and woman with the authority of God through the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. I'm looking for you to respond to me. Do not be left out of my coming move in glory. I am saying get ready for me to do miracles, healings, with people who are not saved yet. But I will do when I do the miraculous in them. Be my vessel through which I will move, saith the Lord your God and Savior. And I prayed about this and I says, Lord, I don't know if I need to give this at all. I don't know what the message is going to be this morning. But it goes along so much with what our brother here was speaking on. And I think God is speaking to you and speaking to me that we are not going to go out of this world until God becomes a church that is gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost and being soul winners for God. So many of us want to go to heaven, but what are you doing on earth for heaven's sake? Thank you very much.
Ooh-wee. Somebody just wiped all the dessert off the table. I like dessert just as much as anybody else does, but I know the value of nutritious food. I've got so many illustrations from being on these fires. The food that they put out is specifically designed to nourish firefighters that are exerting a lot of energy. Yes, they have desserts, but the focus is on nutrition and calories and protein to strengthen. What we've heard here this morning was not from the dessert end of the table. God is going to build a building out there. God is going to build not a cathedral. He's going to build a place where those homeless that you talked about will be able to come. Our slogan will not change when we get a new building. It will still be the perfect place for people who aren't. And God is raising up an army. Sir, that was a fantastic word that you gave. God is looking for a people that will rise up and raise their hand and say, here am I, send me. Let God do something through you. I don't know what to do, Pastor. Well, just do something. God will use you if you'll allow Him to use you. I never was going, God, I really want to be a pastor. I felt like He was using me in youth and those kinds of things, which when I started out, I said, I don't ever want to deal with young people, ever. My dear friend Richard Harris and I were asked by Debbie Radford to take over the youth for one Sunday. One Sunday. Can't be that bad. It's going to be great. They ate us for lunch. They killed us. I said, I'll never work with young people again. Ever. I never felt qualified to be a pastor. You know my life. You'd probably say, yeah, he ain't qualified to be a pastor. But here I am. And here you are. You keep coming back. But listen, it's time to quit just coming back. Time to raise your hand and say, God, I don't know what you want to do with me, but my hand's in the air. Would you use me? Would you just use me? Hands are going up all around this place this morning saying, God, just use me. Kathy's playing the song, if you can use anything, you can use me. Father, this morning, what a challenge. What a challenge. hey, I want you to go to the county jail. I'm not going to the county jail. I've been there. I am not going. Listen, I want you to just go and play your guitar. Okay, God. God just began to show up. Heal people that didn't even ask to get healed. Begin to heal people and nobody even asked you to heal anybody. And He just shows up. Father, this morning, we need a miracle. We need a miracle, Lord. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Take my mouth, O God. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God, we're a people, Lord, that are hungry. We're hungry for more of you, Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People praying across this sanctuary. One of the most vital aspects of this ministry, the very thing that this ministry is birthed on, is the salvation of the lost. If we're not saving souls, we're just having a meeting. Father God, I recognize what you've put in my heart. And so this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus. I've never accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to make Him my Lord. I want the forgiveness that we're talking about in the Bible. I want to know that I'm going to make heaven my home. If that's you today and you say, Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I need Jesus. Slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Maybe you knew the Lord and something happened and you got hurt in the church. That happens a lot. It happens. But God still loves you. God still has a purpose and He still has a plan for your life. And this morning He's calling you back into a covenant relationship with Him, established in the blood of the Lamb. And He's saying, listen, if you'll just return to me, if you'll cast your cares on me, I want you to know I care for you. And I will write your name down. I will welcome you back into the family of God. If that's you today, slip your hand up. I won't pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Church, here's what I want to do. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar this morning. I want to invite you to come. If you would say, Pastor, this morning, I'm raising my hand. I want to be used of you. I want to make something of the rest of my life that counts for eternity. I want to just ask you to come. Spend a few minutes at this altar this morning and tell God, whatever it is, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church.